WJBR Internet Radio for the inquisitive mind and the sophisticated ear.
My homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Yvonne and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Yvonne and Therese. Yeah. You see who we got today or what we're doing today or whatever it is, it's going to be good. Woo!
I love you all so much.
Just the first thing that.
Adam and Eve.
We can see you now.
I know. And thank God.
Yeah. That's generally the response we get from everybody, but we keep it clean.
Hey, everybody, how are you doing today? I guess it's a little dark in here. I didn't even do the lighting. I was so busy doing so many other things because that's just me. You know, I just can't do one thing at a time. What is up with that? I hope you are having a wonderful Saturday morning. Welcome to Brunch in the Basement, the live show. This is June. And we are now in Pride season, and I am very proud to be a member of the LGBTQIA community. Just a reminder to everyone that this broadcast is licensed via Live 365 and covers listeners in the USA through Sound Exchange, ASCAP, BMI, and CIAC. In Canada through SoCan and ReSound, in the UK through PPL and PRS for Music. Also a reminder that the views, information, or opinions expressed during Brunch in the Basement series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WJBR Internet Radio. Good morning to you, Pop. And where are the basement dwellers and chatterboxes for Brunch in the Basement with Yvonne and Therese this morning? Let me just say, if you watch the show on Facebook, I will not be able to see your comments. So please move over to YouTube, WJBR Internet Radio. And since this is Pride Month, I thought I would start with a little Cheryl and Yvonne.
What we truly need is equality. Thank you.
That's right. That's all we need is a little equality. That's a Cheryl and Javon original. And here, speaking of original, here's another original by my man Sadir, friend and family of the Brunch in the Basement series.
Thinking, wishing, reminiscing, got your attention, got you to listen to my throwback from the back when, what we did then, wishing we could do it then, brother, how you been, old friend, we connected, looking good, doing good, yes, I expect it, pretty blessed over here, everything is everything, but I'm still good, even when it gets hectic, man, I wish I would've made better choices, but it's too late to listen to the more voices, not that I'm regretting where I'm at, but when you get to looking back, it's like you see a much bigger portrait, like, I never should've wasted my time trying to satisfy anyone other than I.
Right.
Never should've dated some. Wish I would've waited some. Sometimes I wish I was a little more fly, but I tried. For the love that I might never feel. Man, I wish it. I wish it. Put the cash in the crib in the hills. Man, I wish it. I wish it. I got to go a little bit harder. A little bit sharper, a little bit. But the things that I wanna make real. Man, I'm a kid, I'm a kid. I wish Ro never lived that life. If he didn't, he would probably be still alive. But he did, and the times that follow been so hard to follow. He was way too young to die. I wish people didn't make it difficult. And they wanna wonder why I'm so cynical. What you really want, yo? Get your intention. To make your point quick if you catch my attention.
Yeah,
I wish people didn't play games. And I wish people just stayed in their lane. Everything politicized, everybody wanna criticize, but we're all in a fight for our lives, right? I wish the algorithm would pick up my post, or catapult it to the top, so I'd view the most. Face that everybody wants, they seem to pop, 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 and I got more to drop, baby, dot, dot, dot. For the love that I might never feel, man, I'm with shit, I'm with shit. Put the cash in the crib in the hills, man, I'm with shit, I'm with shit. Go a little bit harder, be a little bit sharper, but the things that I wanna make real, and I'm a kid, yeah.
Wishing. I wish music still felt this good. I wish things could just be the way that they should.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? I wish we could just coexist in peace and come together like one big old block party and celebrate life. Wish we're thinking.
For the love that I might never feel. Man, I'm wishing. I'm wishing. Put the cash in the crib in the hills. Man, I'm wishing. I'm wishing. Got to go a little bit harder, be a little bit sharper, but the things that I wanna make real, man, I'm a kid, I'm a kid, for the love that I might never feel, man, I'm a kid, I'm a kid, for the cash in the crib in the hill, man, I'm a kid, I'm a kid, got to go a little bit harder, be a little bit sharper, for the things that I wanna make real, man, I'm a kid, I'm a kid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, 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 oh.
There I was at all the new clubs in town, all dressed up and moving to the latest sound. There at the bar, buying drinks for whoever caught my eye. And no other lucky guy, but many nights I would drive myself home alone to a big house that even Luther wouldn't call a home. Pain came you, and now I'm not the same. What a wonderful change. And girl, you're the blame. You made me want to dream again. And feel again, laugh again, head break again. You made me want to dance again, clap my hands again, romance again. You made me want to love again, yeah you did.
In my world, I was the one that all my girls would call to. After the party that had all the flowers.
What's up, Resi Poo?
What's cracking?
I love that song. Can I tell you? Gordon Chambers and Lettucey to Love Again. Mm. Hey, mm, Melody, Gordon how Chambers. Are you? Papi Chulo. How you doing?
Going on, Miss Richie.
Time to feed the soul with Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese on WJBR Internet Radio. No RSVP needed. There's always a seat at the table for you. That is so, so very true.
Come on in. Sit on down.
That's it. Get a crack a lacking.
I was driving, and I saved something for you because I need you to break it down.
Oh, Jesus on the cross. Yes. What can I help you with this morning?
All right. So
a glorious morning.
So your girl, Pam Keith.
Oh, Pam Keith.
Was on fire.
As always.
I don't know the... See, right now the gloves are off for so many. And, you know, and I come from the Walter Cronkite, Robert Walters days of
you
recording.
You ain't even going to start with how you doing. You just want to fight. Go ahead.
No.
Just do
fight.
It. Just, okay.
Because I said to myself, I said, wait a second. She's going to have to break this down. So I screenshot
okay.
the tweet just to make sure I was able to save it in the event someone took over her page, right?
Okay.
In the event someone took over her page, I screenshot the tweet because, like, I needed to know why she was so heated, you know, and I wanted to go back, but I was driving, and I said, I can't do that. So she tweeted out, Merrick Garland.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
She goes, she
is
says.
Is worse than Barr or any of anyone before him? That one?
It says, and I quote, fuck Merrick Garland to hell and back.
Yeah,
I told you
that.
So.
I did see that.
I screamed in traffic. I was like, yo, the gloves are off. What's that?
Nothing. If you look at what I'm looking at her Twitter page, her Twitter feed right now.
Right.
She is going in. But yeah, I know exactly what I think everybody knows what's going why she's so pissed. Most people should be pissed with him. If in looking at Biden's cabin, his choices in terms of the people that he chose around him, I think the very worst is Merrick Garland. I agree with her 100%. His inaction, his failure to prosecute, his slow moving or whatever the hell he's doing, these insurrectionists, not doing a damn thing, allowing these people to continue to sit in Congress unscathed. He's the one that can, you know, when the former guy came in, he said, only I can fix it. No, only you can fuck it up. And only Merrick Garland can allow it to remain fucked up. Now, what Biden can do is fire him, which at this point, it's moot, it's late. However, if he wanted something done, he should have put somebody like Tish James. Even if Kamala had the role of AG instead of VP, something mm-hmm. would have got done. 100.
And I'm speaking from the layman section.
I'm a layman. Let's do it.
No. You are my political correspondent. You are the chief of staff.
Okay. No, we're going to have to get Pam back on here. That's all.
That may mean that I need to hear because
she knows she is an attorney,
right?
And so she knows legally what could happen. Good morning, LaVon, Sandra.
Hey.
Yes, Melody, we are doing well. Yeah. So what exactly is your question? Say it again.
My question is like you started half of the answer, and my question is, so if he's a Biden appointee, like any other place that you go and you work, you know, and all this rhetoric and this, you know, right now, I think people think it's fly. Oh, two things. I'm sorry. Let me back up. My thoughts are racing and I need to like put them in perspective.
Good morning, Dolly.
There are some people out there who think having politics or having a, you know, political aspirations, you know, when you start out, like if you have true intention to change the world, a true intention to make things a better place for people, and true intentions to govern in a way that is inclusive of all, it's wonderful. So I don't want to take any and this is just me talking, you know, but I'm talking about the way folks are showing up in the world today. Some folks like to toss the word politics or politician behind their name, and they ain't nothing but fucking bold-faced crooks. You know, they're trying to get in a way to get in on some money, and it's bottom line is it's a money chase, you know, a money chase, and you think by being politically connected that increases your chances, or fronting like you are a politician, you know, throwing the word around and mixing with people that you really do or don't know. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's really about the money you're chasing. It ain't got nothing to do with people improving anything. And if your improvement is connected to people, it's still about your money, your bag, okay? Selfish, greedy sons of bitches. But at the other side of that, if Biden appointed him, and I don't care if you work at White Castles, if you are not doing a great job by your employer, you get fired. So what is this lingering on, and you got everybody fired up, and you present as a Democrat, but yet it's all this fuckery attached to what you're doing? Because honestly, I don't think he's doing it autonomously, you know? I don't think the appointment was not for a reason. And I think that sometimes it's like, you know, we question certain things, but, you know, you're putting this in office. And I still go back to raising an eyebrow at Biden oftentimes because you I don't know. I don't know what's happening here. But what I can say, what I feel like, which is different than what I think, but what I feel like is some more fuckery. He's doing what he can get away with, and he's doing probably what he's told to do. How do we account for that? And then when I'm driving, I see like pop-ups talking about fuck Merrick Garland. And I'm like, that's about right. Well, who put him there? And there's not that many stimulus checks to make you want to change your mind about some things. Like it's just too much going on at one time. Too much. By, you know, appointees. And listen, white folks ain't never took accountability for nothing that they do, okay, in terms of politics. So I don't know why we expect any prosecution on the insurrection, because it's just not going to happen to anybody's satisfaction, okay? We got mass freaking shootings going on around here. You got the people that do it that you watched hold the gun on video that, hell, they even taped themselves because, and somebody had a point, and they were 17, they said people were taping themselves during the insurrection. And this young man, and I'm tying it to this young man that taped himself shooting people in a grocery store, right? And then he went and said, I'm not guilty. Like, why would people fear a camera catching them live when they could just turn around and say, I'm not guilty? Not guilty of what, young man? You live in a country where we are perpetually guilty. massive shootings and all kinds of craziness. And I guess, you know, just like folks that have said, hi, I'm Jed. I just came up. We're going to take this country back. Woo-hoo. On broad daylight. Just as I'm Jed from Alabama, and this is our country. And
you had a little country accent when you did that. That was funny.
But, you know, the reality is Jed ain't going nowhere either. Just like this little rat bastard that did the shooting. So what are we looking at here? What are we truly looking at? And then y'all want to talk about the right to bear arms. Can we take care of the person that did it first and then come backwards, and then you want to deal with the biggest subject? And I'm sorry, that speech that he gave behind the last mass shooting, like, I'm tired, just like a lot of folk. You say it's against the law for me to keep my kid home from school. But how about, I'm not trying to bury my kid either. Just too much anxiety rolling around. Like, and now we're in grocery stores, and that's okay. And if y'all not looking at the signs and symbols of little Johnny when he's popping the heads off his dolly when he's young, to equate it to him being a cold-blooded killer, if you're not looking at little Johnny that's wearing layers and layers of winter clothes in the summertime, thinking it's cute, or little Johnny's isolating himself in the basement playing with chemicals and you think it's cute. These are all those little Johnnies that flipped out in front of their parents in grocery stores that you were wishing that, you know, got a backhand or two. I don't get it. This world is going to hell in a handbasket quickly. And unfortunately, there's a whole lot. I'm listening. I'm standing in line in a supermarket, listening to people compare their anxiety medications and gummy bears and all kinds of stuff because you just need it to get through your day. These aren't Tic Tacs. You've got anxiety. There's something triggering it. And it shouldn't just be to be in the world. I live and breathe. I woke up. That's what triggered it. Too much. Too much. So when I referenced Walter Cronkite, Robert Walters' era of television or reporting, there was some level of skirt that I appreciated, some level of conservatism that I appreciated. Is that a word, conservatism?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Because they wouldn't give you the, like, I'm tired of seeing splattered guts, you know? And I remember there was a saying that, you know, you can't handle the truth. Yeah, I like to go back to not wanting to hear all this bullshit. The media has held contemporary society under its thumb for so long via gaslighting. It doesn't surprise me when the worst of us slide right into the perpetrator role without batting an eye. That's interesting. Yeah, for so long, gaslighting, yeah. Because I often would say, you know, when I travel, it just, I feel like I'm in another country. I feel like I'm getting the news. And Americans, we still don't get the truth. Because, you know, we still don't get the truth from our country. Know that. They cream my stuff, too. Why? Because we probably just can't handle what they are actually doing. We are part of the Americans that are on the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. We are part of the Americans that on the boat that Columbus rode in on. You know, we're still, according to the rest of the world, rolling with those people who had all those mid-Atlantic slave ships coming over. We can't separate from them here on this soil. The term was first used by François-René de Chateaubriand in 1818 during the Bourbon Restoration. Ah, conservatism. Thank you. The type of political belief that supports emphasis in traditions and relies on individuals to maintain society. So there's a certain order and calm about that reporting. Hi, I'm Walter Cronkite. Hi, I'm Baba Wawa.
Baba Wawa.
Remember Barbara Wallen? Shout out to Gilda Radner.
Gilda Radner, that's right.
Okay, I'm done.
Well, you had a lot to say there. There's a lot going on in the world. You're absolutely right. And it's all, the revolution will be televised. Whatever that revolution will be. You said a lot. There's a lot going on. And it's a lot. It's absolutely a lot. I don't think that any of those nuances in terms of us not knowing the truth is new. It's always been that way. What politicians do behind doors and what we find out about, what trickles through to us.
Yeah, I'm looking at one of her tweets less than 5 hours ago, and she says I'm sorry, she's Pam Keith Esquire again.
She your new Shiro?
Well, you know, I check folks out like this, like with glasses on and, you know, and a trench coat.
Mm-hmm.
Not as creepy as some I know, but, you know, just kind of like, because I just don't trust politicians. You know, I just do not trust them.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of them are up to something, and it's generally true. I haven't been proven wrong yet. So it's she says, one of two things is true. Biden knew Garland was going to be this way, or Biden didn't know but doesn't have the spine to fire him. Which one do you think it is, Jay?
I think it's somewhere in between the two. I don't think that because Pam said it, it's the ultimate truth. But I think that the truth lies somewhere in between the two. My personal opinion about that is because of the way the former guy had the audacity to utilize the Attorney General, Bill Barr, the former Attorney General, as his personal lawyer, the shenanigans that went on between the two of them, how Bill Barr allowed everything illegal to happen in the forefront, and it was painfully obvious that he was doing the orange guy's bidding. It was like so painfully obvious that one of the things that Biden came in saying was, that will not happen during my term or whatever. He made that such a big part of his campaign because of how atrocious it was. That I think because he's really old, I have to say he's really old and stuck in the old view of politics. And he's old and he moves slow and can I call you TT? For truthful to wreck. You know, Darlene, you got to love her. I love it. Darlene, for those of you who are listening on the podcast, Darlene Harris just said, I love the diversity of your radio show. Thank you, Therese. Can I call you TT for truthful to Therese? That's what we, as a race, never had the truth. There's something so special about us. This is true. And I like that, TT. Okay, so anyway, I think that, first of all, Merrick Garland was Obama's choice for, Supreme Court. that Mitch McConnell never allowed Obama to have his Supreme Court pick when there was an opening. And he said, oh, it's a whole year, you know, and no, let the voters decide. So he wouldn't for a year allow Obama to get his pick. I think that Merrick Garland would have made a better Supreme Court judge than Attorney General. He's not aggressive. He's a punk ass. He's whatever the fuck. I don't know if either he's a punk ass or he's a Republican in Democratic clothing, in Democrat clothing, you know? So that's my thinking on him. He's slow. Everything that his history as a judge shows that he is fair-minded. His history as his record as a judge, he has a great history as a judge. However, as an attorney, as a district attorney, as a, you know, someone going after the bad guys, I don't know. So, and if this is any indication, this is it's really bad. So I think that Biden is scared. Fire him. I've also heard some background noise that Biden is really upset in his slow old man way about the inaction. I've heard those trickles. However, you know, he's more afraid of what the optics would be if he fired him.
How could you? You know, that's the funny part. You really think the optics are okay now?
And I think it's a bad move. I think that he's been too slow to do a lot of shit. And I think that most people, allegedly, all of it is alleged, and it's just my thoughts. And that's why I preface it all by saying what I think. I just think. Yeah, and hashtag punk ass. I think that the two of them are walking on eggshells for no good goddamn reason, for the wrong reasons. At this time, this is not the time to be politically correct. This is the time to kick ass and take names and put their asses in jail. This is not the time for all of this pussyfooting around and being, you know, the bigger man. No.
I don't understand how the common American citizen has to walk these legal lines, and you want to impress upon us a just or orderly society, yet we're looking at the lawmakers and they are running a fucking muck. And at the end of the day, it's like they get away with so much shit, and then you turn around and say, no, this is the law. What are you talking about? This is the law when it's convenient for you. You know,
there's a I can't think of his name right now. One of the former guy's people who was just indicted yesterday. Can't think of his name. It's a pretty big piece of crap. That's why I don't know why I can't remember his name. But anyway. He has basically said that he's not going to testify for the January 6th committee, to hell with them, and blah, blah, blah. And so they put his ass in handcuffs, shackled his feet, and marched his butt to jail. The first one that they did this to.
Ooh.
I know.
Two years later.
Exactly. I can't even believe that they even still thinking about this shit. Either you're going to do it or you're not. Because it was all done live on national TV. Like, what more do you need? Hey!
Need a vial of blood.
Can I just say something to Victor Orlando? Victor, I was in the middle of creating your rapid fire. and my whole system crashed. You crashed my system, sir.
Because he's that.
He is that fire. So, you know, you crashed my whole joint, man. But I was thinking about you last night. That's all I'm trying to say. So, anywho, yeah, so that's what I think. I think that they're pussyfooting around and being too soft. And I don't know, you know, we don't know what we don't know. We can guess a lot of stuff. Maybe Biden's in on it. Who knows? Who
Vita
knows?
Navarro.
Ah, okay. Yes, for contempt of Congress. And, you know, there needs to, he should have been number 52. Not number one. You know, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous
but,
at
you
this
know
point.
But it only applies, these things only apply to mayonnaise.
Let me tell Congress to hell with you. Before I even get the U out, I'd be in handcuffs, shackled, head in the ground. You know, come on, stop, man. Come on, son. We know how this goes.
LaVon B says, I found that more and more people find lying outright, regardless of reputable evidence, as easy as breathing because the large group think has begun, albeit, wait a minute, am I reading that
has
wrong?
Has begun to abet that kind of cowardice.
Cowardice.
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
The whole thing is a bunch of shenanigans. He was indicted by a federal grand jury on 2 counts of contempt of Congress, stemming from his failure to comply with a subpoena issued by the House Select Committee investigating January 6th breach of branch of the United States Capitol. Joe Biden is a sleeper. He always has been, and blatantly so. The state of the presidency is a direct result of the masses prioritizing delivery over substance.
That's a word.
You know, I think that based on what the terrible shit that went on prior to him, I think that people kind of wanted something calming, you know, and that's exactly what the fuck we got. It's like people wanted a sleeper because
we were all in.
It was
in line for our pain.
Yeah, that shenanigans, that stuff that we just went through, and we're still going through. It's still happening. It's still in the making. And what is it? It is a reliving. You know how the South, the Confederates always said the South shall rise again. This is where they are at. They are trying to retake and restructure the United States of America. They want coloreds only and whites only fountains again. They want to stop black people from marrying white people. They want to illegitimize gay marriages. They want to put women back in the home and out of the workforce, except for black women who are fine to clean their homes. They want to go backwards, backwards, backwards. They want to revisit. I wouldn't even be surprised if they, excuse me?
For the kids to grow up in, let's find a place, they say, somewhere far away, with no blacks, no Jews, and no gays.
Yeah, what they want is to go back in time. And you can see they want to whitewash history. They want to burn books. They want only people who, you know, they're so afraid. They're so living in the glory of how they perceive themselves during the Jim Crow era, the power or the version of power that they had. They want that back. They do not want what is happening in this country to be fulfilled. They don't want true equality. They don't want equity. They don't want what the Constitution says, which is the right and the pursuit of freedom and liberty for all. They don't believe that all men are created equal. They do not believe that women are equal to men. They believe that women are for breeding and breeding only and for their personal pleasure. That's why they don't want any sort of, what is it, if a man rapes a child and that child should become pregnant, then, you know, that child should have to keep that baby. And just there's no laws that they're talking about which are more strict on rapists and pedophiles. They're not talking about that. They don't want to talk about that. They don't give a shit about that. These people, what we need, and Pam is right. I agree with her. That's why I had her on the show the first time. What Pam is saying is that we need a stronger AG. We need somebody to stop the shenanigans. And you know,
a stronger AG where? Can we be specific?
Well, the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Okay. I just wanted that to be said out loud, because, you know, we have, you know, every state has their own AG, and I don't know why there's not an AG meeting.
Yeah.
And well, the AGs get together.
Matter of fact, but there are a lot of AGs that are down with that program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? So I just wanted to say that. And to our YouTube watchers, please hit the bell button and like button, share and subscribe to WJBR Internet Radio. We would appreciate the love and support for our numbers.
Yes. And yes, Darlene, you hit it right on the head. The Constitution, when it was written, amended, whatever it was, we were considered property, not people. So it was not written for us or with us in mind. We were not there. They did not consider it, you know.
No, you're right, Darlene. You know what? Good point. And yes, happy Pride Month. Keeping the pride.
Oh,
happy
nice.
Pride Month.
Happy Pride Month, New York City. Happy Pride Month worldwide.
So I want to look back at what Pop was saying. In its subpoena, the select committee said it had reason to believe that Navarro had information relevant to its investigation. Navarro, formerly an advisor to the former guy on various trade and manufacturing policies, has been a private citizen since departing the White House on January 20th of 2021. Each count of contempt of Congress carries a minimum of 30 days and a maximum of 1 year in jail, as well as a fine of up to $100,000. Which reminds me that, and the reason why I said Letitia James would have made a great U.S. Attorney General is because she's the only one who has Trump indicted, and he is currently paying $10,000 a day for not
$10,000 a day
or a week or whatever it is.
That was, but that's
a day
like
or a week or whatever. Yeah, but
it'll probably be tax write off.
It's nothing for him, because he's not going to pay. He's going to have the Republican Party pay for it. They pay for everything for him. Every crime that he's done, it's crazy. He's a con man. And the biggest freaking alleged crime of the century of the world. I've never seen such a thing. If anything, hats off to you, motherfucker. You conned the whole world. Good for you. Okay, a federal district court judge will determine any sentence after considering the U.S. sentencing guideline and other statutory factors. Okay, basement birthday shout out to Albert Joseph Brown III, a.k.a. I'll Be Sure, born in Boston and raised in Mount Vernon, New York. During the late 1980s and early 1990s, I'll Be Sure was one of New Jack Swing's most popular romantic singers, songwriters, and record producers. Also, El DeBarge is a Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, producer, and musician. He was the focal point and primary lead singer of the family group DeBarge. Hatch in the Basement with Javon and Therese. Happy Pride.
I'll Be Sure came to us first from the legendary, I don't know if you guys remember it, but the Sony Innovators. And he had his initial album, I believe, he submitted and, you know, got picked up. And the rest is history. And he's also written one of Jodeci's biggest hits, Forever My Lady.
Yes. Yeah, man. I used to love me some Al B. Sure. Still love me some Al B. Sure.
Yeah, and of course, DeBarge. El DeBarge. You know, come on. Legendary DeBarge family. Everybody damn near in the family was, you know, musically inclined. Some of them left us with some amazing, amazing falsettos and amazing, amazing work, body of work. And Elle's still around doing his thing.
Yeah, matter of fact.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. There's a great song, Elle and Faith, that's semi-recent. Let's play a little Elle DeBarge, if you don't mind. Let's do it.
Close to mine. just wanna lay with you.
Girl, I'm gonna get
away. I can't
get
enough.
Yes, that is the legendary El DeBarge and the legendary Faith Evans. Love it. Love
yes.
it.
Yes. National Cheese Day.
Cheese.
Not to be confused with other popular cheese-related holidays. Cheese-related holidays, I love that. Like grilled cheese, Cheesecake Day, or Mac and Cheese Day. This day is in reference to This day is in reference of the queen of dairy, the big cheese. Okay. And then National Cognac Day. And thank you for the reference to Fawn Weaver, Pop. But National Cognac Day, June 4th, each year, June 4th, brandy lovers and distillery celebrate National Cognac Day. Shout out to Fawn Weaver. She's the CEO and founder of the Uncle Nearest Premium Whiskey. Yes. She definitely is that. Uncle Nearest, that's an amazing story, too. It'd be great if we could get Fawn on here, you know. That'd be awesome. Just to be able to tell the story, you know, and what really went down with the brand that we all know, Jackie D, Jack Daniels, you know, that is a coveted whiskey in this country, and I'm pretty sure beyond. But it was Uncle Nearest that taught little Jackie everything he knows. And what did little Jackie do?
But they all.
Oh, we are. Right again. Fearless one.
National Cognac Day each year on June 4th, brandy lovers and distillers celebrate National Cognac Day. Shout out to Fawn Weaver.
Yes, shout out to Fawn Weaver, who happens to be, I think, the first black person to found her own distillery in conjunction with the Nearest family. And she has, an all-female executive staff.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So happy Pride to everybody, and happy birthday to all the birthday celebrators.
Yes.
And you know what? In honor of Pride, this is something I don't normally do too often, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to, play the marriage equality music video to kick off Pride, I think, because why not? Because, you know?
I know I spelled that wrong. No, you didn't. That's the way it sounds.
Let's see. Let's share the screen. How do you share the screen? Ah, it's a Chrome tab. Ah, yeah. Let's do it. Why not? Can you see that? Yep.
Yes, Jimmy.
Never been one to settle down. All this talk about gay marriage that's going round. And then the angels in the universe sent your love to me. And now I'm hoping and I'm praying that you will marry me. But I can love you better than anyone else can. And now we must change the floor, 'cause it's you, baby, you woman, that I adore.
Hold that last shot. I was trying to screenshot it.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. There you go. Oh, well, not exactly, right? Okay.
My bad.
Yeah, so shout out to Shari Carpenter, too.
Shout out to Shari.
That's a whole other story, but, you know, shout out to my girl. So I hope that everyone this Pride season stands up for what you believe in, you know, be out, be proud, you know, be loud. Because it's your very, your rights, the rights that we fought so hard and long for are at risk. Every time that they speak about Roe v. Wade, you better think gay rights, too. You better think marriage equality. You better think interracial marriage equality, whatever it is, you know. It's so funny, or not funny, I should say it's ironic when I hear people in interracial relationships make homophobic comments, or people, whoever they are, you know, like it's just insane to me. But you know, that's just me. The number to call in, 347-996-5394. And again, salute to you and the wife for getting married on national television. Amazing. That's standing up for what you believe in. That's being worthy of your calling.
Yep. It's, you know, just thinking about a whole slew of things in this pride season, you know. I think also, you know, just the idea that someone or some entity can say, based on how you love and who you love, that you're not worthy of something as a human being, is like one of the biggest blocks of mental health issues we got going.
Yeah.
Because that's the governing factor in most situations. Mental health gone wild. And we just, you know, like, it's just, this is the law. Like, it's just insane to me.
Yeah.
It's just unfathomable. Mm-hmm. Out of everything going on in this world, everything that we need, you've got the time and inclination to want to address how other people, not even, like, I can understand if it was happening to you. Like, if somebody was in your backyard doing some dumb shit, like, listen, I want to stop people from coming in backyards. Okay. But now you are in somebody else's backyard telling them how they love, or how it's just, when you think about it, like, I don't like you because your skin is darker than mine. I don't think you should be equal because your skin is darker. I don't think you, like, just where do these concepts come from? And then we've allowed these people for many, many years, centuries, to govern a society with this thought process, to raise children with this thought process, to make laws with this thought process. Because you're dark, you have to drink over there, and I'm light and I'm white and I get to do this. It's just insane to me.
Right now, there's a large portion of this country who has a shared mental illness, and it was instilled, like, there's a belief system that was instilled in them to intentionally hold them back while having them, while having them support those that don't support them. So imagine being in a classroom, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher is about to be fired. And the teacher knows that they're about to be fired because the teacher sucks. The teacher does not teach math well, has the kids spelling all crooked, you know, has the kids not knowing history, has the kids fighting in the classroom, right? But the teacher teaches the children one important thing, and that thing that's important is important to the teacher. That because they all look like the teacher, they all the same hair color or eye color or something like that. They all got brown eyes. Everyone in the class with brown eyes, you're beautiful, you're strong, you're smarter than everybody else. And what they want to do, they want to bring in people with blue eyes to make you suck, to rule, and they want to fire me because I have brown eyes. And so all the brown-eyed kids say, don't fire my teacher. We love our teacher. Who ain't teaching you shit.
But how to hate.
So the kids will rally, will protest, will starve themselves, will do anything to keep the teacher the teacher. The teacher just want to keep the job and get paid and kind of likes having power over those kids. But ain't really doing nothing for those kids. And then when a little blue-eyed kid goes into that classroom, treats that little blue-eyed kid a little less nice than the brown-eyed kid, and tells the brown-eyed kids, okay, be civil to the little brown, little blue-eyed idiot, okay? How you think the kid's going to treat that blue-eyed kid?
But it's a cold and soulless existence. Soulless existence when you cannot have compassion and love for your fellow man.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying expose yourself to no craziness. Like I'm in between Malcolm and Martin, you know. It's like, yeah, I can help you help yourself in some cases. I can turn the other way. But if you give me too much, I can light that ass up too.
Yep.
How I respond to you is a direct reflection on how and what you're giving me.
Absolutely.
Always have been, always will be.
Absolutely.
Do I believe in an eye for an eye? Absolutely, I do. Because sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with stuff like that that's irrational and unreasonable, you have the right to protect yourself. And I don't understand how this goes true for our military, but not for our civilian. I just don't. It really doesn't make any sense. And at the end of the day, you know, we are suffering by and large in this country because people just won't take their meds.
Yeah.
Or people just won't seek the help to restore things that they know are misaligned.
I think that, you know, people need to vote. Shit. I'm like,
well, you know, I don't
go
know,
vote.
It's
no.
Like we vote, but then it's the same. I'm not saying don't vote.
If right now
not,
is not the time to not vote. This is the time.
But Javon, y'all gotta hear the voice of the other people. I'm not saying don't vote. What I'm saying is, how many decades have we said that?
You know what? Let me just say this. This is not the time to stop voting. And one of the things that we have not done as a people is vote during these congressional and representative times. A lot of black people specifically only vote during presidential elections and your mayor, maybe the governor. And this is where we are today. If we got together and freaking got these people out of office, there would be a change. That's it. Period. You could say it. We've been saying it for decades, but people don't do it. That's the thing. Why are we still having massive rallies to get people to sign up to vote? People saying how, oh, I'm not, my vote won't count. Oh, I don't care what they do. I got a job. Who gives a shit? Are you serious? This is, no. We need to rally because when we do, and this is what they're afraid of, and if your vote was not pertinent, if it was not important, they would not be fighting so goddamn hard to stop us from being able to vote.
This is true.
This is why that's what they want. That's what they want. They want us to think, why should we vote? Nothing's going to change. If we don't vote, things are going to change. There will be no LGBT marriage anymore. Women will no longer be able to have abortions if we don't vote these motherfuckers out. This is not the time to say, why vote? Why? We've been doing this for years. Excuse me. Are we not seeing what's going on? They're burning books that say that slavery was bad. They're burning that shit. Ruby Bridges, they don't want that book about, they don't want children learning about Ruby. We need to, on the local level, it's time to vote with a fever, with passion. It's time for everybody. It's not time. This is not the time, people, to say, no. This is the time to put your boots on, go get your neighbors, and vote. And if that means that you got to stand in line for 50 hours, bring 50 freaking people with you. Because they're trying to make it more difficult for you to vote. Right now, in this moment, this is the time to get your back peppered up to go vote. This is the time.
Malcolm only worked. Martin only worked because Malcolm existed. Not my words, but I can find an interesting statement. Yes. Yep.
I actually think it goes both ways, and I think that both are needed. I think that they're equally important.
I think that you have to be a Malcolm. I'm sorry. I think you have to be a Malcolm. Be a Martin with the capacity to Malcolm.
Yes, equally. You have to have both. And both impacted where they were supposed to, when they were supposed to, how they were supposed to. You. I think any marching that goes on now needs to be marching right to the polls. They have people, they are threatening to have militias at polling places. They don't want black people to vote, period. That's when you vote. That's when you bring out everybody. You don't, why not? Because what happens, especially black women, when we get together and vote? Shit changes. We change the color, not only of the voting places, but of the state. We turn red states blue. That shit has freaked them out. And why are they going so hard now? It started with the first victory or presidential victory of Obama. And then he got two terms. They lost their fucking minds. They did not allow him to seat a Supreme Court justice because Mitch McConnell said in that moment, when that black man came in, he said he will never, out loud, I will never allow him to seat a Supreme Court justice. Because therein lies a hell of a lot of power, the Supreme Court. And what did they do? They filled it with people who are willing to overturn the amendments to the Constitution. Back and don't vote. It's over. And we will never have an opportunity again because they will not let it happen. They are some crooked, slippery, slimy motherfuckers. And this will no longer be a democratic republic.
That means what? We'll be going to jail?
I don't know what that means.
What is our greatest fear there? If someone said, oh, you know, this, the law is falling, I said, so I don't care about the law. I'm just going
to
go
ahead.
You
cannot care about the law if you don't want to. You can care. A lot of people don't care about the law. But here's the thing. Because you have a marriage license, it permits you certain liberties.
I can take the liberties.
Well, you can't take but so much. I mean, be realistic. Maybe you can, but a lot of people can't. Because you can't go if I go in a hospital and I can't say that's my spouse, all the things that you, then why fight for rights if the rights mean nothing? Why get married if the law means nothing? You could just have a ceremony. You don't need the certificate.
Well, that sounds like a great treatment. If I ain't got them, you ain't got them either. How's that?
But that's not how it works.
I don't care how it works. Well, that's the thing. We care how it works or what they said it's supposed to be.
All right. Well, then, I mean, that's fine. But when you go to the hospital, if your wife is in the hospital, mm-hmm. as her wife, you have the right to make decisions.
So check this out. If I'm in the waiting room and Jack is in the waiting room to see Mary and I'm in the waiting room to see Mo, if they tell me no, guess who ain't going through that door either?
And how are you going to stop them?
I'm going to use whatever is necessary.
And they have more of what is necessary to stop you. I mean, come on. Who's walking around with an army?
Who what?
Who's walking around with an army? What are you even? I don't even understand that. Like,
well,
if I go into the hospital with mm-hmm. with Cheryl's, if I'm in the hospital, let's mm-hmm. just say, and Cheryl comes to the hospital and Jack goes to see Mary, they won't let Cheryl in to see me, and Cheryl protests. What is she going to do? What specifically are you saying? Whatever means. What means does Cheryl have?
I'm glad you said it just that way.
Yes.
Because whatever contains our thought process is part of the problem. See, we have not wild out completely. In areas where we've wild out, there's still evidence of it today that exists in certain states. But we have the portion of our brain that says we must be orderly is what they ultimately control. But, like, there are more of them. What, first of all, that portion there that
So you're saying that Cheryl should get herself arrested because that ultimately is what, when you say wild out, unless I'm misunderstanding what you mean.
And what is wrong with being arrested?
I don't want Cheryl arrested.
No, but that's not the question.
But
is that the worst thing that can happen to you if you have no rights anyway? Being free, you're not free?
I don't want to be arrested.
No.
I think I want to be there when she comes out, okay? In jail. I don't know.
And that
no.
is, listen to what I'm saying.
That is worse.
Listen to what I'm saying. That's the conditioning that they have put. It's worse. But if you're out here with no rights, with nothing else,
we've been there already. Go back? You're talking about the same thing they're talking about, going back to when we didn't have rights.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
My brain doesn't go there. It doesn't go there.
Here's the thing. It's like we want to get fiery and testy, but we want to do it within the parameters.
Not necessarily. There comes a time and a place for everything, and I mean everything. There needs to be a Malcolm, there needs to be a Martin, but there needs to be a duality. I don't want us or anyone to get to the place where we need to march in with guns in order
to. That's
not
what I'm saying.
Or, well, you're talking about wilding out, and if by any means necessary,
that's
I mean,
that's not what I'm saying. That's
but
not what I'm saying.
What
hear me,
specifically
hear me,
are you saying?
I'm talking about the portion of our brains that are good niggas. You understand? The portion of our brains that sit back and want to believe that these people are going to play nice in the sandbox. I'm talking about a portion of our brains who perpetuate the laws that they, who want their words to mean something to them. These are the same portion of the world that really, really don't understand that they made the game, they will change the game, and they will always, it will always be a perpetual rug pull. I'm talking about the portions of our brains
so
that
what
believe.
Specifically are you suggesting?
What I'm saying
give
is,
me, you have to give me something tangible because I am not getting what you're saying. Like,
well,
what would it look like if marriage equality is overturned?
Wait a second. No.
Right?
Wasn't that what we were
talking about? And your marriage license no longer exists, and so they, we go back to before.
Yvonne, you're still in that box.
All right.
Still
so then,
box.
So
but
then,
what I'm saying to you is, this is still a part of their government, their system, and I don't know if any of us can stop the systemic thinking, like.
When you say this, what do you mean this is a part of the system, of the systemic thinking?
We have, a lot of us are groomed in the system. We believe in the system. We believe that they are going to give us something. We believe that they even
give
a fuck.
Give us
about
what?
It.
What are you talking about? Give us. Give us what?
You're fighting for the right to do what? To be free, correct?
No. I'm fucking free. I'm not fighting. I'm fighting.
Did you say you were free?
Yeah, I'm free.
No, you're free under the laws that they govern
you
by.
No. I'm free. I'm free to do what the fuck I want to do.
How did you say that when you say, okay, you're free to do what the fuck you want to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then this is.
What can I do that I want to do?
That's my point. You can do anything you want to do. You don't need permission.
I know.
This country is built on a bunch of permissions.
All right.
You can do what the hell you want to do.
So what is your I don't understand what you're talking about.
Meaning, okay. What I'm saying is this. We are conditioned to believe that their laws and their things are put in place at the risk. We've been shown for centuries that those who create the laws ultimately will beg, borrow, steal, and most of it has been steal, and change them. They
will,
can
wait,
only do and govern this because we believe
the laws will beg, borrow, and steal and change the laws.
Right.
Okay.
This is what they want to, you know, and it's important. And again, it requires a certain working of the brain that, and I think that's what they are afraid of. For us to say, fuck your laws, fuck your system.
So what are you suggesting? I still don't understand what tangible thing you're talking about.
What I'm talking about is a mindset. What I'm talking about is our grooming into this society has been asked backwards from the beginning. Our grooming into this system called.
Well, I agree with that 100%.
So in that grooming comes the learning. We have to, it's a miseducation. They had to teach us all of this stuff and then.
Yeah, but the problem is most people haven't even learned the stuff that
I say good.
How do you break a system that you don't even understand? How do you. My thing is people don't even know what the fuck is going on. People don't even know what they're doing. People don't even understand what this current corruption is.
Even if you don't specifically
and
have the capacity to name it, does not mean that you don't understand.
But even not to, I'm not talking about naming it. I'm talking about the specific details of it. Like,
well,
like
why are we going granular when at surface it's fucked up?
Because if you're going to destroy something, you need to destroy it from within, I think. Within you, within the system, and whether we like it or not, in some way, we're a part of the system. As long as you're paying taxes, you following the rules, shit.
You may not be able to.
I say it would be a beautiful thing to burn it all down and rebuild it up. And
so
the
why
way
can't we do that?
And we can, but the way to do it is to find people who represent your way of thinking,
I will never find someone who represents my way of thinking.
Your, what do you call
but
it?
I don't think it's from the, it's not
your
an outside
best,
job.
Your best,
not
I didn't say it
job.
Was an outside job. I'm saying you find people, a collective.
Narcissists hate to be ignored. Remember that. Narcissists
this
hate
is true.
To be ignored. So at the end of the day, the same way they want to erase us, this is the law, right? Hey, Therese, I'm going to say that, you know, eating peanuts is against the law, effective June 1st. Well, fuck about you. And I stand there at the line, I'm eating the peanut. You can't tell me what to do.
There's a lot of people that do shit that's outside of the law because we don't, you know, because people have a choice. You adhere to the law, you don't adhere to the law. You know the law, you don't know the law. You live and die by the law, or you say, fuck the law. That's your choice.
So
you take some laws and you bend them. You use some laws to your advantage, and other laws, you fucking go around.
So then what are we doing here?
I don't understand what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the perception and the concept that starts here. And I love the hashtag free under their laws because we're not free. None of us are.
Okay.
None of us are. We live in a bunch of fuckery, quite frankly. And just like Mother Nature, when God's tired or the higher power's tired, he's going to shake all of us stupid asses off. And we're going to be somewhere else reinventing something somewhere else, hopefully. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, this is a mess, and I just don't believe that it's – and it's our thinking that's made it messy. Because we got some folks that actually think this needs to be this way, and then other folks saying that that's wrong and it needs to be this way. And the reality is none of it is nothing. It's all smoke and mirrors.
First of all,
honestly, I believe the greatest of these here on these streets is love. And if we
I agree with you 100%.
I just think that we're only supposed to be mastering the understanding of love.
Let me just
and
say
until
this.
We get to that point, it won't happen.
I think it that countries, happen. The idea Ooh. Of countries, I think that there shouldn't be any boundaries. There's nothing, there are no illegal immigrants in my estimation. This world doesn't belong to any one human being
exactly.
or any one group of human beings. That there's enough on this planet to feed everybody, and it belongs to all of us that are here. So that is the truth of my personal belief. My belief is beyond the laws, and I believe that I'm free to roam this earth wherever I choose to go. Right now, I choose to stay in my fucking basement, but that's just me. But I don't. Darlene said lies, lies. I don't know where you at, Darlene.
Which part were lies?
Yeah. What specifically was a lie? So, I mean, that's
they done trained us how to they done trained us how to train ourselves.
I think that we are all right. So my true belief is my true belief, and I don't really want to share it here. So there's that. However, a lot of us are a lot more free than people believe, because you are free to think the way you think and believe the way you believe. However, you also, there's a religion that does not vote, that does not do a lot of things that I think we should do. And the reason I was informed that they do not vote, let's just say, is because they believe that man's laws do not affect them. Whether or not your street gets paved, it's available in your community, unfortunately, has to do with politics. If the pavement of your street does not affect you, that's good for you. Me personally, I like a smooth road to drive on.
Oh, you've been on dirt roads. You've never been on clay dirt roads.
I've been on one, but I don't like it personally. Prefer a paved road. You know, there are a lot of things you have to pay taxes. The amount of taxes that you pay is a political thing. If that doesn't affect you, okay. Whether or not the hospital is going to be in your community or not, that doesn't affect you, okay. Now, my thinking, my one part of my belief is that, and I think I've said this before, that everyone should be afforded every opportunity to learn, to be elevated. Student loans is stupid. I think that the cost of education is ridiculous, especially if you want to talk about being within the confines of boundaries and borders in your country. You're going to charge people to make your country better? All right. You are a citizen.
Let me ask a question.
Before you do, let me just make this statement, and somebody try to make this make sense to me. I own, quote unquote, a country, or let's just say an organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I welcome you as a citizen of my country or a worker in my organization.
Mm-hmm.
Within my organization is a training opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to charge you thousands of dollars to take part of my training opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you do take it so that you can advance, I'm going to charge you interest to pay me back for giving you the opportunity to learn what I needed you to learn in the first place to make my organization better.
Sounds like college to me.
That makes no kind of freaking fracking sense.
However,
higher education, in my opinion, should be free. That's
okay,
it.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Okay, so why did it get so dark in here? Okay, so
Don't go to the dark side.
No, I mean, like, just like. But the interesting part about it all is this, and this is why I go back to saying, when you really think about it, and almost for me, it requires me to slow my brain down, right? Because, like I said, I have a tendency to do this, you know. So here we are with this map, the self-imposed map in some cases, because, you know, part of us wants to believe in the law and the order. And the other part is like, wow, the law and the order doesn't believe in me. The very law and order doesn't believe that I should exist, period. So then, but yet, we need to have faith and respect in the system, and all we got to do is this. We've been all we got to doing it for a long time. So we're not free. Even if we had everything else, do you think that we won't be in another trick bag? Of course we will. Of course we will. Let's say we changed everything blue and we're rocking like this. Is that going to make us? No, it'll be one more thing right after that, because that is what we are used to. That is what we know is going to happen. That is what we should expect. Because the reality, if we think we're going to be in this country that they've carved out to be the land of the free, the home of the brave, that ain't had nothing to do with us.
True.
These concepts that we are subscribing to, these constitutions, these four found, what is it, founding father forlorn and fuckery, it wasn't us. They brought us over here to be what? Workers. And to an extent, we still are.
Yeah, absolutely, we still are.
So at the end of the day, it's kind of like you have a very, very limited amount of time here, period. Because we're all going to wear these suits out. And that's the inevitable. That's the one thing we share. We're all going to die in this piece. So you need to decide how you're going to live. In peace and harmony with yourself and others first. Or in hell and in fear. Because what I've watched over the last 2 years, 2.5 years at this point, has been complete fuckery. I've watched the state of the world, like the rest of you, go from already hell into the handbasket.
I don't know that we're in the handbasket yet. I think we headed there.
But see, that's what I'm talking about. It's perpetually going to get worse. You understand? Because we're not getting it. We're just not getting it. So what happens, like anything with momentum, it's going to continue to grow. Unaddressed mental health issues does not go away because you don't talk about it or because everybody doesn't agree about it or because your family is watching you self-destruct and no one's saying the word. Or Johnny's always on his way somewhere to get help, but he just doesn't quite make it.
I think I know, right? I like that. Founding fathers forlorn and fuckery. I will say this, that if anyone is suffering with mental health, please, there's no sin, no shame in getting treated for mental health. Why did I just hear Monifa? Is that your ringtone?
It was her ringtone. Sorry.
That's okay. Hi, Monifa.
But I mean, just the way, you know, it's real. And we have been subjected to it for so long by folks with it, you know. Yeah. And even in some of their thinking, we've subscribed some of our sane thinking, and it's still insane. And it's a deprogramming of sorts. You know, we are indigenous folk, you know. And, you know, and some of us have been gaslighting, and some of us have been in spaces where we have, what's the word? There's a term for it. I forget. It slips my mind right now. But it's when what is the term for it, Jay? You know it.
I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about.
When you, I don't want to describe it because then it would be, let me try it anyway. Who cares? You know, it's when you subscribe to a certain culture of thinking that's not of your own. You know, whitewashing in a sense that, you know, you become in the workplace when you are a person of color. Well, yeah, that's ultimately what it is. It'll come to me. I'm sorry. I know the word for it, the word created for it. But it's essentially like there's nothing about your roots that you connect to, you know. So, and because you don't know what your roots are, and essentially you find yourself subscribing to a whole lot of things that look good, like someone aspiring to go up the corporate ladder and to be accepted in these spaces and places. But the reality is, you know, 90% of corporations that have black people attached to them are, you know, getting that good D&I money. Until you make a law that says unless you have X amount of people, you don't get those grants that you're bidding for. You know, so there's always going to be a twist, not because they just think you need to be there, and because your opinions are so valuable to our bottom line or valuable to the world at large. No, it ain't that.
So LaVon says, I agree, living governed by fear and misery and continuously complaining about the same, but taking no real action to change is a self-created hell that too many people ask others to pay for. And Pop says, gaslighting happens when an abuser tries to control the victim by twisting their sense of reality. Anybody seen that movie, Gaslight?
Facts.
It was a great movie. Well, now you watch it, it's kind of slow because it's old. It's that old, but it's a good movie. It speaks to a lot.
It gets annoying, you know, because you want to be there to see all these milestones, and our kids are busting their ass at levels that they've never done before, you know. Absolutely, busting their ass at levels they haven't done before.
Yep, narcissistic personality disorder, antisocial personality disorder. And I will say that I believe a lot of people in politics are narcissists.
And liars,
yeah. Old wives' tales and fables. I would like to move on to a Black History moment, if we can.
Yes, please.
Okay.
What do you mean if you can? You can do anything you want to do. This is your show. You can do anything you want to do if we can.
I'm joking. Go ahead.
What?
I'm joking.
Black History moment. Okay. On this day, October of 1970, Sister Angela Davis was found not guilty. I mean, well, in October of 1970, Angela Davis was arrested in New York City in connection with a shootout that occurred on August 7th in a courtroom in San Rafael, California. She was accused of supplying weapons to Jonathan Jackson, who burst into the courtroom in a bid to free inmates on trial. He planned to take hostages, whom he hoped to exchange for his brother George, who was imprisoned at San Quentin Prison. In the subsequent shootout with police, Jonathan Jackson was killed along with Superior Court Judge Harold Haley and two inmates. Davis, who had championed prisoners and was friends with George Jackson, was indicted in the crime. She went into hiding, became a fugitive, and fled to California, according to her autobiography. During this time, she hid in friends' homes and moved from place to place at night. On October 13, 1970, FBI agents found her at the Howard Johnson Motor Lodge in New York City, and President Richard M. Nixon congratulated the FBI on its capture of the dangerous terrorist, Angela Davis. On this day, June 4th, 1972, almost two years of incarceration and 13 hours of deliberation, she was found not guilty of murder, kidnapping, and criminal conspiracy by an all-white jury in San Jose, California. Now, what I would like to do is share, if I can, a little video of Miss Davis. Short. So bear with me. That's not right. I don't know why I keep doing it the same way, expecting
something different.
You know?
The American way.
Oh, stop it already. I mean, really, Therese. Okay. Let me see. Can y'all see that? Yep, y'all can. Okay. All right. Let's see. Where the hell am I? I'm lost again. Here we go.
And, of course, in my own case, where, you know, I was represented by the FBI as being armed and dangerous.
The FBI has put black militant Angela Davis on its list of the 10 most wanted fugitives.
With Angela Davis, the power of the black intellect.
One of the things that we really have to talk about coming to Christmas is the whole question of crime. What does it mean to be a criminal in this society?
That had to be broken up.
And in my case, Ronald Reagan was the governor of California. Richard Nixon was the president of the U.S. The whole apparatus of the state was set up against me. And they really meant to send me to the death chamber in order to make a point.
The actions of the FBI in apprehending Angela Davis, a rather remarkable story again. And
the system tried to put the sister on trial, and the sister said, no, we're putting you on trial. Comes in the big afro. She didn't go press her hair. She was facing major time. You know, most people, they'd have got a nice little press. You know what I mean? They'd have been in there with little white gloves on praying to Jesus. She came in like this. And she devastated the prosecution and walked out of there free.
But the question is, Monica, how did you get there? Did you get there by confrontation, violence?
Oh, was that the question you were asking?
Yeah.
I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. After the four young girls who lived, one of them lived next door to me. I was very good friends with the sister of another one. My sister was very good friends with all three of them. My mother taught one of them in her class, and they went down, and what did they find? They found limbs and heads strewn all over the place. I remember from the time I was very small, I remember the sound of bombs exploding across the street, our house shaking. I remember my father having to have guns at his disposal at all times because of the fact that at any moment we might expect to be attacked. I mean, that's why when someone asked me about violence, I just find it incredible, what it means is that the person who's asking that question has absolutely no idea what black people have gone through, what black people have experienced in this country since the time the first black person was kidnapped from the shores of Africa.
Whoa.
And thank you for putting that out, because that just interrupted my entire space in a good way, because that's exactly where you get, there's a point where you get sick and tired of just having to always do it whatever the right way is, you know? You get sick and tired. You have hope that things will change, you know, because what else is there if you don't? But at the same time, it's like on some bullshit. And, you know, just to be able to call a thing, it's very liberating. Yes. Defying and defending the truth at the threat of death. And that's the risk of whatever, you know.
Yeah, and she did it. She did it by breaking down their own shit, by understanding what the rules, the laws, are. She fucked them up from within. She like dude said, she didn't come in there. She didn't come in there wearing a perm and press and trying to be, you know, she came in there with the power fist and with the truth. locked them in the courtroom, in their own courtroom, with an all-white jury. When people talk about Angela Davis, that's the part that is sometimes missed. If I could beat you at your own game, I fuck up your head. In addition,
the head is already fucked up. They know what the hell they're doing.
There's just an additional, because, you know, the president
I want to see us when we get tired. I mean, sick and tired of just being good old
Cooney Brown. I think there have been more than one periods of time that we as a people have been sick and tired. I think that during the civil rights movement, I think that that was definitely a point where we were sick and tired. I'd say even recently with the marches around this country where the young people took up arms, not took up arms, but, you know, armed themselves.
We are in store for a major upset that we have not ever encountered, that we cannot put in a box. You know, it's folks attire. And if your prediction about the former coming back.
No, that's not my prediction. Don't speak that into my life. No, sir. No.
Okay.
What I am predicting is that black people are going to put their boots on and march to the goddamn polls. That's what I am predicting.
Allow me the gravity of rephrasing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's
what
flip
I'm saying
the spirit
is this.
Here.
Okay. So allow me you did not. Yes, that's not your prediction. But can you say that your prediction of him galvanizing is accurate?
It's not a prediction. It's not a prediction. I'm not predicting anything. Telling you what I'm seeing. He is still getting people to do his bidding.
Okay.
And what I am predicting is that we as a people are going to come together and we are going to stop the shenanigans one way or the other.
What if we can't?
There's no what if. I cannot look. I'm not playing
because
that.
Technically, he shouldn't even be allowed to be. But you know that the fact that this person can still, after everything else that's been done, after everything.
I am not putting anything negative into the universe, Therese.
I'm not.
That is such a.
I
cannot think. I can't go there. It's too much.
That's the point.
It's too much. It's not. No. No, what I am doing, what I am saying is that we as a people are going to get up and go put some people in office that we say, you know what, that person, at least in this moment, is marching with me or is sounding like they make some kind of fucking sense or at least gives Cory Booker enough sustenance, because you need enough D's to fight the R's. I cannot think that my people do not understand the gravity of this moment. I cannot, and guess what? If we do not understand the gravity of this moment and do not seize it, well, then I can't go there. Mm-hmm. I can't go there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go there.
We have to have a plan B.
There's no plan B. Vote. Plan, vote.
Plan A. But we have to have a plan B.
Vote.
That's plan A. But we have to.
Well, what is your plan B? What is it?
I don't have one. I'm just saying to you that.
Well, in the meanwhile, the plan is to galvanize people to vote. To get everybody to understand the importance of the moment.
Yes, galvanize people to vote. Get people to understand the moment. But if it doesn't happen.
But everything after but is bull. We have no choice. We have no choice.
Oh, we got choices.
Get it together. Let's do it. What is the choice? All right, then what is the plan B?
I don't have the answer, Sway. Thank you.
Well then, let's get it. We need to be talking more about plan A. And plan B, whatever it is, does not need to be discussed here. It needs to be discussed in a meeting room. Because whatever plan B is, needs to be something that they don't know is the plan.
Oh, absolutely.
And it doesn't need to be discussed here. What needs to be discussed here is plan A. Now, if everybody wants to get together and say, guess what, y'all? We're going to get together privately, just us, and come up with plan B together. Plan B, it needs to be in our room, if you feel me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do.
Because, you know, you can't tell everybody everything, because I can guarantee you 100% they don't tell us half the shit.
No.
So you can't work this. This is not a thing where you work out that plan B solution on the air.
No.
It's not for everybody. For everybody. Plan A is for everybody.
Plan B, just like plan A, ain't for everybody. They're both not for everybody. And I say that because, you know, sometimes you don't even know who's in the room. You know what I mean? All skin folk ain't your kinfolk.
No, that's true.
Black person, it cannot, we're not monolithic. You know, so every black person doesn't have the same agenda. There's some white Democrats, but this whole, the system, again, Javon, and, you know, we can fight about it, or we could just.
No, I don't want to fight.
You know, because I try to.
I'm all love.
No, you're not. We're not fighting, but I'm just saying, you know, but it's just the system and the conditioning of which it is. Democrats, Republicans, blood, Crips, it's the same damn thing. We destroy this earth, we're all affected by it.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter if you believed in abortion or not. Guess what? When the earth goes, your ass is going too. And a lot of innocent bystanders will be swept up in it. So the ones who don't want to vote, they're going to be swept up whether you think so or not. The ones who are voting, you're going to be swept up. The ones who are not voting are going to be swept up. We're all in it together.
Absolutely.
We're all in it together. And we can't get along. And then we get in a room thinking we're going to do a plan B. And you're sitting in there with people that only want to hear your plan to run back and try to dismantle it.
No, absolutely. But everybody has their Judas. So that's definite, you know. Plan B uses our resources, power, and influence to take care of our communities on our own. Brandon, I feel you on that. We need to vote and have a plan B. I feel that. Does that look like? You know?
Yeah.
And that's what we need to work out in those meetings. What does that look like? This, from the local to the broader community. In the meantime, you know, my thing is to get everybody out there to vote. You know, I want to encourage that. I don't want for people to think that it's not important or it won't make a difference. Because, again, if it was not important, if it didn't make a difference, they damn sure wouldn't be trying to stop you from doing it. and they are all of their resources, all of their twisted little brain power to figure out a way to keep us from voting. And therefore, we must do everything in our power to get to the polls. And that's my take on it.
Go vote and don't sit on your ass. But just know, if you don't, shut the hell up and have a plan B about what you're going to do. Because if they get it, it's a rapture for anything that you do know.
True that.
But don't be caught up in the thinking of the system because it's whack. No, it's whack.
Yeah. Yeah. The only borders are in your mind.
Lord have mercy.
The only borders. And with that, everybody have a happy pride. I'm going to, let's end it with the Noah's Ark. What do you call it? Thingy. Anyway, yeah. Noah's Ark, the cast and crew from Noah's Ark. Everybody, please enjoy the rest of your day and have a happy Pride month. We'll see you next week, and on Wednesday night we'll have a replay of some show, God willing.
Peace, party people.
Peace.
I'm Frederica Ponte, and you're watching The Basement with Javon and Therese.
I am Jensen Atwood, and you are watching In the Basement with Javon and Therese.
One take. Thank you, Jensen.
Loved it.
Hi, I'm Rodney. You're watching The Basement. Stay tuned.
Okay.
The Basement.
All right.
Javon and Therese.
Hey, this is Leon. That's right, Leon, for some of your favorite movies, and I'm at brunch in The Basement with Therese and Javon. Stay here with me. Stay here with me.
Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say, but it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway, no, she doesn't. She wasn't even there, actually. But anyway,
I'm gonna send y'all some cologne.
Okie dokie, babe, whatever you say.
With time, so,
and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
well, thank you. This part, that little piece, I'm just going to keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, I'm just teasing.